you look at Proverbs 14:1 again? Did you catch the very first part of that verse? The wise, there's the terminology, the wise woman builds her house. The wise woman builds her house. What are mothers? Mothers are teachers. Mothers are our first teachers. When you really stop and weigh it down and you think about it, it is our mothers who taught us the very primary things that we need to know to get us from day to day. And so mothers, I want us to think of today are our teachers. And Andy's already referenced this, and he did a good job at the table today. Jesus had a mother. Jesus had one of the greatest women who ever lived. Jesus had Mary. And at the tender young age of being a teenager, she was told that she was part of the process of the Godhead that would plant a seed in her that would bring forth Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And what I want us to do is, I want us to go back and look at Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40, then 51 and 52. And notice that Jesus had His first teacher, and her name was Mary. The Bible says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they went back to Galilee, their own city, Nazareth. Watch this, the child grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. 51 and 52. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus was subject to Mary. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Notice what happened. Four things happened in the next verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. Jesus had Mary, and he was subject to her. Part of the process and the plan of God. There's another individual that we could talk about. John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer had Elizabeth. Elizabeth. You have Elizabeth that's mentioned here in Luke chapter 1 and Zacharias. And John the Baptizer was a prominent figure in Christianity. And I want you to look with me at verses 76 through 80 of Luke chapter 1 about John the Baptizer. And you, child, will be called, watch this, the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation in Israel. So not only did Jesus have Mary, but John the Baptizer had Elizabeth. And then we look at Timothy, who had a mother and a grandmother that solidified him in the teachings of truth. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul says, you know, I remember your mother and your grandmother and the fact that they were very instrumental in your upbringing, in your teaching, in your instruction, in the molding of your life. And mothers, first and foremost, mothers are teachers. This might be some things that your mother has taught you. I'm going to read off a list of these things today and see if you don't find yourself somewhere in here. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that comes out of that carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into next week. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I love this one. My mother taught me irony. You keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. Huh? My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. My mother taught me about stamina. You'll sit there until every bit of that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about weather. This room looks like a tornado went through it. Y'all are getting these, aren't you? My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mother taught me about behavior modification. You act just like your father. Whoa. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. My mother taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when you get home. Last one. My mother taught me about medical science. She said, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, the wind is going to change and you'll stay like that forever. Mothers, that's going in file 13. Mothers are teachers. Number two, what we owe our mothers. Children, young people, adolescents, and teenagers, and young adults. I want you to listen very closely to the next column here. What we owe our mothers, number one, there will never be a time that you don't respect your mother. You may not always agree with everything she says or does, but there's always a time of respect. Did you know that's one of the original 10 commandments? A lot of people say these are the 10 suggestions. Not so. Honor your father and your mother that it may be well with you and that you may experience a prolong of your days. That's what Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says. So always respect your mother. It's a lost art in a culture we live in. Let's go back to respecting our mothers. Number two, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Apostle Paul begins talking about relationships in Ephesians 5:21 all the way through chapter 6 and verse 9. In that context are what children are to do toward their parents. The Bible says in 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is right. It is proper. It is something that will increase your life, he says in chapter 6 and verse 3. So obedience is something that is always owed our mothers. Number three is love. What verse would you use for this? I mean, I'm going to tell you what verse I would use for this. It's the modern MWTH version. It's the modern W. Tom Hall version. And here's what it is. My mother carried me for 9 months. Got sick in the process. And went through the valley of the shadow of death for me. And there's no greater love that a woman does than to carry that child full term. Can I get an amen? Love your mother. And number four, sacrifice for your mother. Save her steps. Mom, would you come over here and get this for me? Get it yourself. You got two legs. Use them. Save her some steps. Save her some time. Do some things on your own. Grow up. Mature, develop. These are four things that we desperately owe our mothers. I want to finish the third section of our message today by just thanking God for godly women. Thank God for godly women. And I want to ask you mothers who have so much influence and so much power and so much responsibility, and I want to ask you a question. Are you living a godly life? You can fool some of the people some of the time, But you can't fool mothers all of the time. It's instinctive in them. They know things. They see things. They hear things. They're aware of things. And if you may not know, and you may not think that they know, but they do. As a mother, are you patterning your life? Is your life a pattern of a life that Jesus lived? What you say in your home, can your children repeat what you say and you not be embarrassed, ashamed, humiliated? What you do, can your children look at what you do and say, you know what, I can follow that. They've given me a pattern. It's been cut out. It's a blueprint. It's cut right out from the scriptures. I can follow that. Mom, you are a powerful influence. Use it to God's glory to teach your children principles and truths that they're not going to get anywhere else. Earlier today, I had the opportunity to read a note that our grandson gave his mother. And when I read it, the tears came. I couldn't hold them back. They came because he doesn't have a father figure. All he's got is his mother and his grandmother. And the heart from which that came was a heart of love. And I'm asking you, mothers, when your children write you notes, do you see the love in those notes? Do you see the compassion, the care, the concern? You are a role model for those children. In Psalm 127, I want to close. Psalm 127. It's a good day every day when you can cry and laugh. I'll try to do that this morning. Psalm 127. And here's what it says. Basically the same thing we read in Proverbs 14:1. It's expanded. Unless the Lord builds the house, ladies, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, I'm fixing to say something here. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gates. Grab your songbooks. This morning, because we care about people, because we love our mothers, because we love those godly women who have made a difference in our lives, I know mine has. And as Andy said, a lot of us, we don't have them anymore. But we cherish the memories. I still have some, and Tina does, handwritten recipes that my mother gave and handed down. And Tina, she's pretty much perfected so many of those, and we still enjoy those to this day. We cherish what they've done for us. But outside of all the physical things that my mother did for me, when I decided to do this as a vocation, She was behind me 100%. And if she could travel and go to where I was speaking, I'll never forget, in her aged years and her chronic obstructive pulmonary disease that she fought, watching an old white-headed woman trying to climb a set of steps to get up into that building so she could sit and listen to her son. Thank God for godly mothers. Are you one? What about as a young person entreating your parents? This is an invitation this morning that allows you to say, I need somebody to pray with me and for me, and not be embarrassed, ashamed, or humiliated in any way. Because there's power in the blood, Sean. Let's stand and let's sing that song.